I think I told y'all before, but I used to work at Gold's Gym for a while. And this kind of point in the year was always like a big deal. We'd kind of see, you know, a lot of people go into the gym around this time. There's really two kind of parts of the year where you see a lot of people go into the gym. First of them, it's right, summer's coming, so everybody got to, you know, they want the summer bods, you know what I'm saying? Come on, hit the beach. Side note, it has nothing to do with nothing, but I'm from Florida. Beach water in California, I'm not a big fan of that. Not a big fan. First time I went to, like, the first beach I went to in California was Laguna Beach. Oh, it looks so nice. It's beautiful. And then I saw everybody just diving into the water. I'm just like, okay, cool, let's go. And I'm used to Florida water. Boy, I touched that water. Oh, my goodness, it was cold. Oh, my goodness. Woo. Takes some getting used to. I'm a little bit better now. I can get in there now, but, man, had to get used to that. But anyway, the second time that you really see people in the gym is when, that's right, come on, people got New Year's resolutions, right? So they want to get in, they want to, you know, try things new, they want to take life serious, they want to develop new rhythms and new habits, right? They want to do these things that they didn't feel like that they did last year, right? Or maybe they want to start again, right? And they tend to have this urgency and this drive and this kind of passion to get in there and to do this work. And unfortunately, especially when I was in the gym, maybe the first couple years, didn't really understand it that much, but when you work in there for a while, you can really get a better, you know, bird's eye view of the trends. And ultimately, the way that it would end up, right, we have the uptick in numbers, and then it would kind of even back out again. And this is a pretty reoccurring thing. Some new faces, right, some faces that have returned, and then again, it tends to even out again. A lot of people... come on, I know you work in the gym now, you know. A lot of people, they have the gym membership, they put the little key fob on their keys, on their lanyards, right? But a lot of times for a lot of people, that $10, $20, $25 is coming out the account, right? But they absent, not in the gym. Subscribe to something new, but there hasn't been a lasting change in their life. Somebody say, same old, same old. All right. The Apostle Paul, as we're going to read today, talks about going from the old things of the previous life and into the new things, the new life that God has given us. And there's a concept that I want to talk about whenever we talk about the new and the old, right? They're often in the same place, but we love to emphasize the new. Could it be that although we have the new life, right, there are things from the old life that tend to encroach upon the new life, and it prevents us from living in that fullness? That's what we're going to talk about today. If you could, please stand for the word of God this morning. Not going to be standing for long. It's a short one. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Apostle Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. This is the word of the Lord. Before y'all sit down, let me go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. As always, for your word. Let it fill us. Let it strengthen us. Let it form us. And pray that you would just help us to understand the new life that you've already brought us into. Lord, help us to be rid of the old life. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say on your way down, the old has gone. All right. Again, when we tend to talk about these things, new and old, we like to emphasize the new, and we don't talk too much about the old. And I think that's often the problem, especially if we want to kind of stay with that analogy of the gym, right? A lot of people want that new, but when you're not prepared to think about the old and understand how the old affected you, right, sometimes you can fall short. So, right, I can't tell you how many times I see people go in, right, they buy the belts and the gloves and the new shoes, right, they're ready to go, but sometimes, again, it's short-lived. Why is that? What is the reason that they find themselves in that place in general, right? What are the things before that have led up to this point? How do they affect them going forward? Right, so maybe somebody goes in and he wants to, maybe, you know, if you're like me, right, he want to fit into that shirt that he used to fit into and he fit into it as good anymore, and so he wants to work it out, right? But it's less about, you know, just lifting the dumbbells and thinking all that work is going to be done, right? How is that person living, you know, before then? What got them to that point? What were their habits? Some people go in and they maybe want to rehab a part of their body, right? And again, it's when you go into a gym and let's say you go to personal training, what do? They're going to talk to you. They're going to put you to the side. They want to know, what have you been eating, right? What is your normal life living like? Where do you work? Do you sit all day, right? That changes your specific story of what they need for you to work some things out so that you can actually live into that newness that you're looking for. And again, this is a concept that I find is often the same with us. We want to have these new rhythms, right? But we're not quite understanding the foundation that's already been built. I know I'm going a little strong on the gym analogy, and I'm not trying to like get everybody to go to the gym or nothing like that. But I am trying to illustrate, right, that the old life matters. And if it's something that we're not paying attention to, that we're not aware of, those things can still linger. But we don't want any crossover. Spiritually, now we're talking. We don't want no crossover, right? Coming to Christ isn't just turning the corner or turning over of a new leaf, right? We are a brand new tree. Come on, somebody. We are new, not renovated. Come on, somebody. Come on, fresh, not refurbished. Come on. Remember those shows like Extreme Home Makeover, right? It's a totally different home with a totally different foundation. Amen. And so there shouldn't be any mixing of the two. We don't want mixing of the two, right? God wants all of us, right? If you got milk in the fridge and it spoils, you're not going to go to the store to go get another thing of milk and then combine the two. No, what do? The old stuff has to go. Old stuff has to go. And rightfully so. We say that God wants all of us. Sometimes we think about stuff like that and it might sound like a little bit like daunting or maybe a little bit awkward for some. But it's true, right? How we see the world, the things that we say, the things that we do. It's important that God has all of these. Why? Because the other stuff is no good. It's spoiled, right? It doesn't lead to anything good. But the things of God, the things that are full and lasting and beget more goodness, those are the things that we want. This is why it's important for us to be formed fully. Paul, in this letter to the Corinthians here, he wants to give them better perspective, right? That they would begin to live as the people of God, not living for themselves, but living for God. One of the things that they kind of struggled with at this time is there were different teachings, and they're kind of being tossed asunder by all of these teachings, and it's disorienting for them. Why? It's because they're still not able to be in this place where they're fully distinguishing the new life from the old. The words of God, right, that are building them up and are edifying, right, versus all this other stuff that reminds them of where they came from. A lot of times for them, right, it's the same as it is for us, where we have this concept where we've been changed. God has changed us. He's making us new, but he's also made us new. The old is gone, but we need to live like it. We have the new life, right? But because of the old life, again, it tends to encroach upon the new life. We're going to get into that a little bit more, what that means. First, we need to understand what the old is. When we talk about the old, there's a couple ways that we're going to think about old, but the first I kind of want to bring you to is just this understanding of the old in terms of humankind, of all of us. This word that Paul uses here when he says the old is archaia. It means from the beginning, ancient. And for me, as he says these things, it kind of invokes those images that are associated with like those human sin origin stories kind of thing. For me, it makes me think of like Genesis 6, how stuff was when the flood came. Genesis 6, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. That every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Think about that. This is the old. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become. Why? For all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. This is the way of the old. This is the state of humanity right before God intervenes. We were, as Brother Paul even says, slaves to sin. It lorded over us. And this is, again, this is the nature of sin, right? How it continues to increase in severity and occurrence, right? And we get to this point, again, where humanity, right, only evil all the time, corrupt, how it just consumes us. This is why we need God. We, as people, humans, right, we're always going to be slaves to something. Now, we have an opportunity to be slaves to righteousness through Christ. Everything changes, but only if we let it, right? If we allow ourselves to be governed by the patterns of the Lord instead of the patterns of old. It's another thing that Paul talks about. We're going to get into it. He uses this type of literature all the time, but another spot here, Romans 6. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. It's already done. Somebody say, the old has gone. And what I like to say is, the hold is gone. That's right. Right? We don't have to live that way anymore. Amen? Y'all good?
Y'all good.
We've already been set free, right? It's this concept about this new life and how we live in it. It's the process of us believing it, right, and doing that work. I was telling the team earlier that it kind of reminds me of, if you ever heard stories of how they used to, like, for instance, train elephants in the circus, like, way, way back in the day, right? They used to take this chain, right, and tie it to, like, a pole when the elephant was young. And so they would know that they can only go so far, right? They can't just mosey about however they want, right? And then so what would happen? These young little elephants, is there a name for young elephants? Cabs? Calves. Yeah, that, right? They grow older. And as they grow older, right, they get a lot bigger and a lot stronger. Has anybody seen an elephant in real life? I've seen it only in pictures, and they look just gargantuan. Yeah, absurd, right? They grow so big and so strong, ain't no way that those same chains will be able to hold them, right? They could literally just break them. There's nothing anyone could do to stop them from just moving wherever they wanted, right? But what happens, right? They grow older, and they're using these same chains, same poles. Elephant doesn't move. Why? It's all they know. It's all they know, right? The ways of old, it shapes them. It forms them. We, right, were made up of all of these experiences that we've had day by day. Right, the person that we are today, right, is just on the history of everything else that's come before. And for these animals in particular, right, it's this kind of almost conditioning. Those old ways have taught them that they're not free, right, that they can't just go wherever they want to go. Although it's not the case in reality, right, this is the life that they live. And again, it's the same way for us. We already have the new life. We've already been set free from sin. It is already done. The chain is broken, past tense, right? Amen? Now the work that we need to do is believing it. Because again, like those elephants, many of us, right, were accustomed to the chains of old, our old ways of being, our old ways of knowing how life is supposed to look like and what things are supposed to mean. Sin, in general, has a trajectory, right? Again, when we're talking about like ancient humanity, right, type vibes where it's, you know, sin, it's just ever increasing, again, in severity and occurrence. And it has a destination, death, right? It has a destination, chaos, destruction, right? These things that when we talk about sin, sometimes maybe we take it like too lightly, stop it, right? Those things, they lead to death. They have a price. And so it's the same for us. Those old ways of living, if we let them, right, they could continue to poison and kind of, again, just again, make us think that the chains aren't broken. And then we're living, we have the new life, we already obtain it, right, but we can't live fully in it. As I was writing this sermon, I was trying to think about how I might illustrate what it means for things to be affecting you all the time and without that, like, awareness, right, how it will continue to do that. And I thought about me and a personal journey for me. In 2018, I had a physical, and at the risk of this sermon sounding like a health and wealth sermon, it's not, I promise. But in 2018, I learned that I was pre-diabetic, which means I'm really close to being type 2 diabetic. Okay, once you're diabetic, once those blood sugar levels, those fasting blood sugar levels, once they get to a certain extent, you're just diabetic. There's no going back. If you're pre-diabetic, you can take steps to kind of revert that, okay? I stand before you today, still pre-diabetic, right? I didn't finish the, no, that's the opposite. I'm still pre-diabetic, like the opposite. It's not the good testimony just yet. I'm working on it. Come on. They're like, yeah, he's still bringing out of bed. Come on, amen. Hey, that's a prophetic praise. They already know what's to come, amen. But I'm still pre-diabetic today, and there's a specific reason why. So I need to give you a little bit of a backstory, okay? From about 2008 to 2018, when I got that physical, that's when I did most of that kind of damage, okay? So when I was a teenager, I was taken into foster care, okay? It was the night before Christmas Eve when I was taken. A place that I'd never been. It was really weird, right? I was like, I went in and they're like doing all these like different forms of screening on me. They're getting health stuff. They're checking my height and my weight, and they're asking me questions, and they're writing stuff down. Whole time I'm just like, where's my parents, right? I don't know what's going on. And I remember the very, very first day that I was there vividly, right? So I remember when I went into the villa, and imagine like floors very similar to this, right? And then there was a big room, not quite as big as this, but a big room, which was like the living area. And they had the little kitchen on the side, okay? Everybody, it was empty because everybody had already gone to bed. It was really, really late, okay? And so the only people that were there, like kind of toward the back of the room, were some staff members, and they were just at a desk, and they had this big like yellow light shining, and I don't know why they had that on, but anyway, I think one of the staff members on my way in maybe, you know, kind of felt kind of sad for me, so they gave me a sleeve of Oreos, like a whole sleeve. Somebody knows where this is going. So during the most difficult emotional chapter of my life, right, like, I remember, like, in that moment when I actually, like, laid down and all that was left was kind of to process, look around, where am I, right? Kind of remembering all those things that happened. And so begin this coping progress, right, or process. I just start downing the Oreos. I didn't know it at the time, but I began, right, to run to sugar, like, as a cope. Now, after that, living in this place, again, for about 2 years. So in this span of 2 years, right, I'm making some friends while I'm there, okay? And we used to go, once in a while, we get like a kind of like type of an allowance kind of thing. And with that, right, we would go to the store, and what am I buying? I'm buying cakes and donuts and a lot of energy drinks. I did not need the energy at all. But I thought they were delicious, so I started drinking those. And a big one for me at that time was also milkshakes, a lot of milkshakes. And again, this is just now a reoccurring thing. I remember we used to go to dollar stores back when stuff was a dollar. And we used to get, you ever seen those like 3 liters of sodas? Not 2 liters, them 3 liters. I mean, those things were like robust, okay? And I remember we used to just drink those. Mine is, I'm not sharing with anybody, it was just me. It's gone before sundown. Again, this was just regular for me at the time. 2 years later, I got back with my parents, right? So now I'm living with them, and I'm starting high school. And I remember, you know, obviously I'm sleeping at home, but outside of that, I just spent 2 years away from them. I was very used to, at this time, just being independent, right? And so of all of my brothers and sisters, I was the one who's like, hey, I'm going to be home when I'm going to be home. Kind of thing. And my parents did not like that. I was, whew, Lord bless them, because they had to put up with a lot. But I remember you know, as I'm going up to high school, you know, my friends will pick me up, and it's not one of those stories where we're like, we were doing drugs and stuff. No, we were going to the corner store, okay, and I was buying Arizona green teas, slushies, candy. And this is, again, this was a reoccurring thing for us. So before school, after school, every year of high school, this is what it was like. This is the life that I kind of lived. And again, at this time, I'm just living life. I'm not aware of no fasting blood sugar levels. Like, I just like sweet stuff. Or so I thought, right? This is, again, it's already become a part of my makeup at that time. I just didn't know it. I thought I was just being regular. I remember the year that I graduated high school, my parents moved to San Diego. They asked if I wanted to go with them. But at the time, I was in a band, I was playing drums, I had a girlfriend. I was like, I'm good. I'm gonna stay in Florida. So I stayed in Florida. I ended up living with a friend of mine. And I did that, and I worked the job until I got my own feet on the floor. Now, working a job, getting a paycheck, I remember my first paycheck, it was $108. I thought it was so much money at the time. I was like, everybody get in the car, we're going to McDonald's. And a whole bunch of hungry, like, I think I was like 18, 19 at the time. You'd be surprised how much we could eat. Paycheck is gone, like, immediately. But of course, right, now that I'm making money for myself, what did I spend it on? Yeah, more sugar. You best believe every time we was at the McDonald's, I got a milkshake in my order. I spent so much time and money on this thing. I was quite confused when I came out here to California and I'm doing this physical, and she's like, yeah, this is a problem, dude. It was my first time even hearing the word pre-diabetic. Never heard of it before. And so I said, okay, I guess that means I need to make some adjustments. So I made some adjustments, right? I'm not going to eat like a whole like casing of Oreos. Maybe I'll just do like half of the case, right? Not two energy drinks, just one energy drink. And again, I was so convinced, right, that I was doing the right thing, that everything was going good. Fast forward 2021, I got a checkup. I got worse. I was 3 points away now. So what did I do? I was like, okay. I hadn't really worked out since I was working at the gym back in Florida. So I said, let me get back into the gym. Let me like run. You know what I'm saying? I thought I was making adjustments to my diet. I said, okay, I'm just going to eat like a bunch of fruit then. And of course, I picked like the sweetest possible fruits that you could. And again, I was convinced that I was doing everything right and that everything was good, right? I also had this weird bit where I was like, oh, I didn't have that much sugar today. I wasn't like charting anything out or nothing like that. I was having way more than I thought. I just forgot everything. Like, yeah, I'm doing fine today. Like just downed like a whole thing of Coke and didn't even know it, you know? 2024, it's pretty recent, right? I got a checkup and I found out another point closer again. And at this point, I was pretty devastated because I thought that I had did the work, that I did what I was supposed to do, right? And around this time, I think the news when she said it, because, I mean, she really sat me down. She was like, hey, listen, you need to get it together. She kind of like mommed me a little bit, which is great. And so at that time, I really had to really look at my relationship with sugar, what that was like for me, why it was the case, like how did I get to where I am today. I knew the future that I wanted to get to, right? But I didn't worry, wasn't thinking about those steps that got me there. I wasn't thinking about when did I form this connection. I might have even formed it long before that staff member gave me those Oreos, right? I had a tough life growing up. Who knows when I picked that up, right? But then from there, I could actually ask better questions. Okay, really, what should I be eating? I didn't even know what a serving size looked like for most stuff until, like, again, getting to this point where I'm really investigating where I came from, how that shaped me as a person. One of the biggest ways that I learned that it shaped me was when I'm stressed, when I'm tired, when I was just bored, just regular bored, guess what I was doing? Running to sugar, right? It kind of just became this constant thing. Now, I know we don't often talk about, you know, idols in that way, but yeah, that works the same way. Right? Same way. I had to look at my day-to-day. I had to look at where I came from and how it formed who I was, you know, currently. This is something also, I think, Paul, as he's writing to this group, again, remember, one of the things that they're struggling with is this idea of false teachings. The reason why these false teachings are such an issue, why they're so potent, why they're working, right, is because of where they came from. You have people who come in, they're probably speaking the same kind of cultural norms that they're aware of, right? Things that they've heard before, this got that, right? Although the people who are going in, right, they want, you know, whether it was they wanted, you know, just kind of like status for themselves, right? Or they were astray and wanted to bring others, whatever the case may be. A lot of times the reason why these false teachings are potent is because they're coming from things that they already understand, that they already get. And again, this is why it's so imperative that the old has to be done away with. It's one thing to say it, right? But to recognize what the old looks like, is that's why it's important. This is a super common thing. You can read this and, I mean, you just pick up anything that Paul wrote and you'll find it. I had listed some here. I usually don't try to go through a bunch of verses, but this is important. Ephesians 4, 22. He says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. It is corrupt. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is a problem. Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave, free. Y'all know this one, right? You are all one in Christ Jesus. Why is this important? Why is he saying this, right? It's, again, that old life is affecting them. Because the old life tells them, right, there is Jew, there is Greek, there is male, there is female, and there's distances between them, and one is greater and one is lesser. This is the old life for them. And so he has to tell them, that's the old life. You have to do away with that. Colossians 3, you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, for you have died. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Same concept. Romans 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. This is, again, church in Colossae, Galatians, Ephesians, these separate groups of people that he's writing to. And he talks about this concept all the time. It was a trend in all the body of believers in that time. And again, it's the same for us today. We have been given freedom. Again, the chains have already been broken. But our old ways of seeing, of believing, shaped us. And that looks different for each person. We're going to go into a bit of reflection here. But before we do that, I do want to kind of help bring a little bit more perspective when we're talking about the old things, okay? So I said this earlier, but there's two ways that I want us to think about the old things, okay? There's old things in the broad sense of humanity, stuff that Paul has written about exhaustively, okay? I'm going to have some of those things. They're just kind of going to be cycling up there. These are the things that have just plagued, again, humankind for as long as we've lived. Some of those things, right, might resonate with you in a certain way. Oh, yeah, I remember in the old life, that was definitely a thing for me. The second form of old ways are ones that are specific to you as a person, right? Paul maybe wrote about idols, but he didn't write about, like, sugar, right? That's for me to understand my own journey, right, and take that context to say, okay, how is that old life creeping into the new? And again, this is going to be different for each and every person in here. I could list a lot of stuff up here, but only you know, right, what you've been through. It could have been something that somebody said one day, somebody that said something to you or about you, and that could have shaped you, right? That's the old life. Could have been somebody who walked in or out of your life, and that shaped you, maybe changed how you see relationships, right? That's the old life. Right? What ways are those still creeping in? How is that changing, again, how we're relating to others, how we see ourselves in a relationship? Maybe somebody said something to you one day that made you feel like a less of a person, right? That you weren't worthy of love, right? Those kind of things, that's the old life. Those chains are already broken, right? We just need to do the work of believing it. How is it creeping into the new life, right? And so as we go through this, oh, my bad, I forgot. Worship team, y'all can come up. As we go through this, and we're going to cycle through some of these things, all I want you to do is just kind of think about your life. Sift through. Some of you already are probably acquainted with those kind of those thorns on your side, right? Some of you are already acquainted to those things. What I want us to do is investigate those things so that we can see and recognize if and how those things are affecting with this new life that we've been given. Because again, it shapes us. If I was told when I was young, this is just an example, this wasn't my personal story, right? But if I was told when I was young, right, that I need to work to earn something, right? Otherwise, I don't deserve something. Those things can creep into the new life, right? You already have God's love. That's not something that you have to physically work for. You're not gonna work to be worthy. But again, that's one of those ways those things creep into our lives. And sometimes we say, oh, I'm done with that, right? That doesn't affect me anymore, right? But if we're not really truly investigating our thoughts, our sight, oh Lord, I just said something, that don't sound like you. That sound like the old life, right? That thought that I just thought, that's not you. That's the old life. Those chains are already broken, right? And so again, it's just that process of believing it. I'll come up a little bit at the end of this with one more thing just to kind of share, possibly a charge. But let's give it a moment to reflect. Prayer team, I'll still call y'all up, so just hold on for a second. But I'll say this while I'm down here, right, in terms of getting prayer, especially after a message like this, where you're kind of bringing back a lot of those memories, possibly, get some prayer. Let the Lord speak to you through this. Again, and as always, if you just feel that Holy Spirit tug where you're sitting down and you just feel like the Lord wants you to go get prayer, might not even be about this message, could be about something completely different, just respond to that call and just go. If you've never been prayed over before, if you've never tried it, if you've never gone to any of the people on the prayer team, excuse me, just go. Just jump in. Just do it. And so, like I said, we're going to reflect for a little while. I'll come back. I'll bother your ears just a little bit more, and we'll let y'all out of here. So as we go into this last song of reflection, my prayer for you, each and every person under the sound of my voice, that you would now make those rhythms, make the adjustments needed. And when we walk into this new year, maybe we have a change of our resolution. Yes, we can still, right, have maybe resolutions to get buff, right, or renovate the house or whatever. But may we also choose, be resolute in our decision to do away with the old life, right, and to live in the new. We're going to learn more about what the new looks like next week. But this week, my prayer is that the Spirit of God would speak to you that whenever there's that encroaching of the old life, the Lord would remind you, you've already been set free. May you be encouraged. And again, may you work, do what you need to do, right, to lay those things down, to make those new rhythms, to make room for God. Amen. We're going to sing one more song and then we'll let y'all out of here.